This week on the Ocean Cruisers podcast, I'm having a chat with Dustin Reynolds, the single-handed sailor. It's been a couple of years since we did our first podcast, and since then Dustin has officially entered into the Guinness Book of World Records for being the first double amputee to solo circumnavigate Earth. On a personal front, he's just purchased a new boat. He has a Swan 42, which is in the process of refitting at the moment in Hawaii. We also got to hang out and sail together in the BVI as Dustin was a skipper at the Odyssey Sailing Festival. We had a few days afterwards to hang out, which was great. He's also going to be a skipper at the Odyssey Sailing Festival in Greece in September. So if you'd like to come sailing with Dustin then, visit www.theoceancruisers.com/odyssey to book a cabin. But for now, enjoy the chat with Guinness World Record holder Dustin Reynolds.
That around the world race, my friend Ronnie and Nicole both at Starlink, and I mean they're updating on social media every day and live feeds and all that stuff, and it's wild.
Yeah, man, she was TikToking like live and stuff. I think she definitely had Starlink.
Oh man, her fame just exploded. Like she, I mean, they did so well, like promoting her trip. You know, she even, you know, I talked to Cole a couple years ago. She reached out to me. Just she had heard about my sailing trip, and then she jumped up to like 500,000 followers, like, you know, and she only had like a couple thousand before this trip.
It's just what Instagram wants, mate. You get a PR person working for you, they can just be like, this is what you need to post, this is when you need to post it, this is what the audience likes, this is the impressions it's getting, and then you just repeat it like two or three times a week apparently, and boom.
Yeah,
not, you know, credit to a story, it's not all Instagram. But you know, like there is a trick to it. It's just a lot of work.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, she definitely did a really good job promoting that. And she should, hopefully she'll be able to do the Bendigo next. She should be able to get all the sponsorship she needs now.
Yeah, I hope so, mate. It's a personality, you know, like she's a funny lady. And she was in like some pretty serious situations, but she was still like, you know, showing the humor of it. And, you know, we're just getting on with the job, battling through. Just had a good character, didn't she? It came across well in the social media stuff she did.
Yeah, definitely did. It was fun watching it.
Yeah, she was at the White House, wasn't she? She was at like a ladies dinner or a women in sport dinner or something like that. She was there like last week or something. Maybe I'm getting it all wrong, but she was at the White House, which is cool.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, don't know what I'll need to do to get an invite. I'll have to think about that one. Anyway, mate, it'd be good. It's probably good just to say, if anybody like listened to the last podcast we did, and now they're listening to this one, you've changed your circumstances quite a bit with regards to your boat over the last year, and we've ended up working together in the Caribbean as well in the time being, and we spent some time together. So quite a bit has changed since.
It has, yeah. I'm trying to remember when we did the podcast last. It was after my trip was finished, right? So.
Yeah, you were literally, mate, it was before the Guinness Book of Records, I think, officially. I think they just reached out to you, but it was still up in the air at that point. I think that's when it was.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was surprised they actually recognized it too, because I reached out to them before my trip, and they said that, you know, in order to get in the book, I'd have to fly out an official to everywhere that I stopped, and it was just gonna be crazy expensive. And then I think the media that they reached out to me, so it's the editor of the book that reached out, and I still haven't got like a little plaque or anything. And I asked them about it, because usually you have to sign in and you start an account with them, and then you could buy that stuff, you know, buy a plaque or whatever. But the guy said he was gonna send me one, and he never did.
Well, let's call him out, mate. Let's name him.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Let's set the world after him until you get your plaque.
Yeah, I think his name's Andy too, actually.
He's a bad one then, we know that.
I'll reach back out to him, maybe say, hey.
Where was he based? Like who were you communicating with? Was it like a UK thing or Guinness? Is it Irish? I don't know.
He was based in UK, so I don't know. Yeah, right. I'm guessing that's where Guinness is based.
Maybe they're just having like a bit of a change in policy at the top, because like they've got to understand when it comes to stuff like what you did and sailors, you know, mountaineers, whatever, people, explorers, they go dangerous places. You gotta have someone checking in. Like, do you know, it's pretty obvious if you left one way and you come back the other and you checked in like Australia, you probably did it. There's no other route, you know.
It's easy to verify my trip. Clearing in everywhere by myself, and I've done all my paperwork and stuff. But yeah, I could definitely. I know the New York Times reached out, and they were going to do a piece on it, and then they ended up calling me back and said, "Oh, we can't verify that you did it." Blah blah blah. I was like, okay, and I,
New York
yeah. So I'm not
Times,
sure.
shocking.
But that was before Guinness of like recognized it too. So, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Mate, what's going on with your book?
Book is still a work in progress. I've been pretty slacking on it lately, to be honest. I've been
You've
working a
been
lot,
working.
working on Dredge, and yeah, I haven't been doing comedy lately either. I need to start getting back on stage again.
But you've
So
done a
yeah.
few. You've done a few stand-ups. Oh, maybe not so recently, actually.
Yeah, I haven't done any recently. Really, I've gone up. I did poetry night once since I've been back. I want to go up maybe this weekend. I wrote a poem about headhunters, and so it
Headhunters. What, like
yeah.
recruitment people?
Well, I dated this Dayak girl when I was in Bali, and I didn't know that the Dayaks were the headhunting tribe until like later on I looked it up, and I'm glad she didn't take my head. I gave her plenty of reason to. And
What do you mean, headhunting tribe? Like
yeah.
the they're out to try and eat people or something? What?
Yeah, so the Dayaks, they would the human heads were like their symbol of wealth. And so like their idea of keeping up with the Joneses was like how many heads they had on their fence. And it was interesting because they were in from Borneo, and there was Malaysians there at the time farming rice, there was Chinese panning for gold, the Westerners were drilling for oil, and then the Dayaks just wanted human heads. And they weren't
Quite
really
original.
like they weren't really militaristic, they didn't like slaughter each other. They just every once in a while they would cut off a head and put it up as decoration. But
Whose head would they cut off? Like, would they pick a great person, be like, he was a great guy, so we want his head on a stick? Or was it enemies? Like, how is it?
not sure. I know because I read this book, The Last White Rajah of the Sarawak, and he talks about the Dayaks, and he said that he left during World War II, and the Japanese had taken over. And so the Dayaks, like World War II was like Christmas, because there was all these Japanese heads that they didn't mind if they chopped their heads off. So, because before the Dayaks would come, or yeah, the Dayaks would come up to the Rajah and be like, "Oh, we just need like one more head, blah blah blah." And he's like, "No, please don't chop anyone's head off." But then during World War II, they could cut off as many heads as they wanted, so they loved it.
That's just interesting, isn't it? Some parts of the world is very different to others.
I was thinking about too, this is what I wrote the poem about, because at the time, gold was, it's before electronics, gold was a pliable metal, it's not really worth anything other than people just believed it was worth something. And so the Dayaks just believed human heads were worth something and gold wasn't. And so, I
Just a
was like,
different currency.
it's all just made up, right? So it's like there was no real reason that gold was so valuable at that time. So.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe they had it right. Who knows? Only time will tell. But I'm glad they didn't take your head.
Yeah, me too. I said I really pissed her off too. So she
Did
definitely
she
could
ask for it? That's such a weird situation to find yourself in. So you're working on the book still. How many pages do you think you write in a month?
Well, I haven't really written in the last few months. I have about four chapters that are pretty solid. And
Oh,
I have
nice.
tons of stories and stuff written, so a lot of it's just I need to kind of put it all together. I probably have enough written to really publish a book, but I need to organize it all.
Mate, I'll definitely read that one. That'll be fascinating. It's the way the world is now, where everything's on the internet and people making videos for everything. There's no one really standing out now, even coming close to doing anything. What you've done, like not in terms of a cruiser, you know what I mean? Just going out there and getting on with it. You really you set a big one there, mate. There's not that many. I was thinking about this the other day. There's not that many people who actually solo circumnavigate anyway. Like it's a super rare thing. There can't be that many people alive who've actually done it. But to do it with like half the amount of human limbs, it's mind blowing, mate. It's absolutely crazy. Like I'd love to hear the stories from like the perspective of what you had to deal with, basically, and how much harder it was.
Yeah, it's hard to tell like how much harder it was because I've never sailed with two hands before. But the
It's probably twice as
yeah,
easy.
it's just I mean it's like everybody else. Like fixing stuff is just a real pain, and you really got to think of what you're doing. The sailing part wasn't really that difficult until things broke. But yeah, so trying to figure out how to fix everything with one hand with whatever's on board at sea. A lot of times, like with the furler and stuff, I had the furler break a few times where, I'm up on the bow of the boat in terrible weather, like trying to hang on with one hand and fix the furler and able to get the sail back in. And yeah, there was definitely some times where I swore a lot. And I named my wind vane Stevie Wonder because, it kind of steers like this. And
Thank God it
like
was that
you
reference. Your
yeah.
hydrovane wasn't doing anything else weird.
Yeah. So the boat would kind of, especially in light wind, it would swim a bit, with the wind. And so if you like transcribed everything I said at sea, because I wasn't talking to anyone, I was by myself. And so it was usually just swearing. Like if I ever said anything out loud, it was just swearing. Or like yelling at Stevie Wonder. I'd be like, Stevie, where the heck are you going, man? It's like, still, you need to go that way, And so I was like, yeah. Meet Stevie Wonder, I'm gonna have to tell him, be like, hey, sorry, I cussed you out a lot on my sailing trip.
Just seemed like a sweetheart. Yeah, it's wild. Do you think you've got enough memory recall of like the entire trip, really? Because you write in a book about it. Do you think you remember enough about it to like give a detailed like description of like certain things? Or with the book, are you thinking more about focusing on like specific events during the trip?
Yeah, so I'm doing two timelines with the book. So I'm doing like one timeline on my accident recovery and then one timeline on my trip around the world. And I'm alternating chapters. That way it's just you're not getting like five chapters of my accident recovery all in a row and trying to deal with all that hardship. And so this way I thought it would read a little bit nicer that way.
That's cool, mate.
But yeah, the way I outlined it, I like one chapter is like Southeast Asia, one chapter is the South Pacific. And yeah, there's so much like there's a lot of stuff I'm gonna have to leave out. And I'm just gonna try to make it to where it reads well and have a nice flow to the story, deciding what to put in and what to leave out.
Yeah, that's awesome, mate. That's really cool. So I've got a question, right? Because there's many different ways you can like circumnavigate on a sailboat, even if you're doing it yourself. You can do it in a boat, kind of like what I'm on now, where we've got all the electronics, everything's super simple, big old autopilot, and it's relatively easy. But you did it in like a low budget boat that you got. It was you started out, it was the first one, it barely had anything, and you've spent time on a lot of fancy boats since, like done a lot of deliveries. You've been on a lot of the big cats doing the deliveries. How much harder, or I tell you what, how much harder do you think it was doing it on the boats that you were sailing in, as opposed to actually just doing it?
Yeah, it was definitely a lot harder. The sailing on Rudis, my first boat, was a 1968 Allbird. And I didn't have an autopilot, I just had the wind vane. So, and it had a tiller as well. So, if I never motored anywhere, one, the motor almost never worked. I mean, I went through three countries without an engine.
No
So
way.
I had to sail on and off the anchor through Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, and into Papua New Guinea. And then,
Shit, man, those are places where like you actually need an engine as well.
no, definitely so. And I got boarded by pirates in the Solomon Islands a couple of times, and so it, yeah, it was scary. I think I did talk about that in the last podcast, but yeah, just the idea that I couldn't just motor out. I had to wait for wind. I had to get enough solar power to for the windlass to work. So I couldn't really leave until like 10, 11 in the morning where I got enough power for the windlass. And it yeah, it was tough. The
Yeah.
like even now sailing on the Swan, the Swan sails so nicely and it's
Don't even talk
fast
about your new boat.
and it's just night and day, like a nicer sailboat than Rudis was. But it
Big upgrade.
was really falling apart when I, because when I got to Thailand, I got towed back into Bali 3 times. The
Yeah.
engine locked up, the transmission went out, and then the force tank came down. Luckily, the mast didn't come down. So, yeah, it was really just an uphill battle, like trying to keep that boat going to sea. And it was getting dangerous too. Like, it wasn't really that safe.
Yeah.
So,
Then you did
I'm
the
glad.
switch to Rooney.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
glad I was able to switch to the Bristol. The Bristol was a fantastic sailboat. And my
That
friend
boat's brilliant,
Sophie's
mate.
trying to do a solo circumnavigation now too on the Bristol. So she has a neurological disease
Okay.
where she's actually kind of losing some motor function, her hands and feet. And it's called Charcot Marie Tooth. But she's
Oh.
wants to solo around the world trip before she's not able to.
No way. When's she setting off?
She's in Fiji now. She left from Hawaii, I think, last May. And
Right.
so she's doing some work in Fiji. Yeah, you should have a talk with her too. She's pretty awesome.
Absolutely. That sounds incredible, mate. She's really going for it.
Yeah, no, she's amazing. I was able to work with her a lot on the boat because she bought my boat, and then I spent like close to a year like helping her fix it up and get ready to go. And so I'm still in pretty close contact with her, and she's doing really well. She's a really brave girl.
Yeah, mate. See if she'd be up for a podcast. Some people aren't about sharing their lives on the internet and some are. So yeah, if she's up for it, that'd be cool. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. I'll put you guys in touch. Like, you'll love
Yeah,
her. She's
bloody hell, that boat has had some high class owners, hasn't
yeah. Well,
it? Yeah, right. Bloody hell, Guinness World Record holders. This lady who's going to smash out a circumnav. That's going to be awesome. What a boat! What a history!
yeah, that boat's, and the guy who owned it before me wrote cruising guides too. So the boat spent a couple of years cruising the South Pacific, and he,
No way.
went to England and back. Yeah, his name was Mr. John. So it,
Bloody hell, man.
yeah, so he was a pretty famous guy too. So there's all these Mr. John's cruising guides. It's really funny too. Whenever I'd ask him questions about the boat, he would write this really in-depth answer on how to do something. And one of them was like, I asked him how to light the oven, and he's like, he writes back, he's like, he knew I was missing an arm and a leg. He's like, this answer may or may not suit you. He says, but here goes. He says, with one hand, hold this red button, and with the other hand, with a torch with good flame. And it was like this three paragraph answer on how to light the stove. And I saved it for quite a
God.
while because I just got a real kick out of reading it. It was pretty funny. But I
That's
remember him saying,
brilliant.
like, yeah, he says, you have to hold the red button for an obnoxiously long time. He says, your finger tends to tire. Do not let it.
Got a writer's comedic time in there, hasn't he? Yeah,
Pretty funny.
man, they if mate, if that girl completes that certain navigation, like what's that museum in like Washington where they put all the Smithsonian? They need to put
Oh,
that boat in the Smithsonian, mate.
yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, if she finishes her trip, there'll be, because she will be the first person with her neurological disease to sail around the world alone too. So
Yeah, that's
she would have
crazy, mate. They need to buy
a
it. Would
record
the
as well.
Smithsonian buy a boat, or are they more like into rockets and stuff?
I'm not sure, actually. Yeah, I mean, they'd probably, I don't know if they would take it or not, but who knows?
Well, might be worth a tweet, mate,
They would definitely
or an
put it.
X
So
post.
there's the Aeroshock Museum in Rhode Island. They would probably take it because the Herreshoffs built Bristols as well, mine with the
Ah.
Ted Hood design, but Halsey Herreshoff also designed Bristol boats.
No way. Yeah, mate, they should. Like, for real. It, like, if that boat completes that circumnavigation, that's something that you don't just want to end up in a, you know, in a skip or a junk heap. Like, it's got a lot of history to it. That would be quite cool, mate. Let's talk about your new boat, because you without a doubt got the best deal in history, of just like randomly landed on a boat. Alex and Brady got a pretty good deal with their boat, actually. But you got yours dirt cheap. Like, it was
Yeah,
insanely cheap.
I
I
stole
feel
it.
bad for the seller.
Guy's a really nice guy too. I haven't talked to him in a while, but yeah, so I got the boat for 25,000, and it's a 44-foot Swan, and it's really an amazing boat, and it's actually in really good shape. I mean, it needs sails. Like, the sails are pretty ratty. I actually went through like the extra sails that were on board a couple of days ago, and I left them by the dumpster. Like, one of them was a completely delaminated head sail that also smelled like a rat had gotten into it. And then
Oh, it's got moldy and shit.
yeah, and there was a main that was altered for the boat. Like, I think it was a furling main that they put slides on it.
Oh.
It wasn't really the right size, but that was also rotten. And yeah, there's one Genoa on board that's in pretty good shape, but it's kind of too big of a sail for Hawaii. It's typically 20, 25 knots out here, so it's
Yeah.
yeah, I need to get some sails for it. But yeah, other than that, like, she's really in good shape.
So how did you come about this boat? Because like we were talking about it when you not when you first saw it, I think, because you saw it a while back, but then when you went to see it again, because you've been looking at it for a while.
Yeah, so I looked at it. I wasn't planning on buying a boat. I had a friend who was looking for a boat, and I went and looked at this boat for him. And at the time, he was selling it for $80,000, and which
Which
is
is a
what
fair
most
price, actually.
people, huh? What was that?
Which is a fair price, actually.
Yeah. No, that's about what they sell for. So I looked at it, and I was like, oh, it's not really the boat for my friend, but I really liked it. And then I just ran into the guy like maybe 6 months later and asked him if he had sold the boat. And he said, well, I was going to give my friend this really good deal on it, but it fell through. Like, he ended up not going for it. And I asked him how much, and he said he was going to sell it for like 35. And I was like, well, I could almost come up with that, And so I thought about it, and I was like kind of trying to see how much money I could put together. And then he called me randomly, like a couple of weeks later, says, well, if you could come up with 25, it's yours. And I was like, yep, I will make that work.
No way.
Yeah. So yeah, I really scored. I really like it too. It's growing on me. It's buying a boat's always, you jump on board and you immediately have that, like, oh man, what did I get myself into again? I've
Yeah.
been sleeping so peacefully, not worrying about dragging anchor or fixing projects and all this stuff. And getting back into doing all the boat work and spending all the money, it's kind of hard to transition back into that, but I'm pretty happy with it now.
It's a lot of work, mate. It's a lot, like, because there's so much that you need to change and upgrade, and it's everything, isn't it? You could do a complete rewire. You could do everything to them, and you'd still have work to do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think with this one, I just put a single solar panel on there. I'm gonna probably get two more. It needs a fridge. The fridge doesn't work. Yeah, and it probably could get batteries eventually. And then also, like I said, the sails are really need to be changed. They're in pretty bad shape. But other than that, like I said, it's pretty solid. Like, all the bones are good. The rigging's good. It
Nice.
needs new rigging too. Like, all the lines are old and cooked. It kind of
Yeah,
it
yeah.
just sat for probably like 3 or 4 years, wasn't really being used. So
Yeah, stuff just starts to degrade on them. Yeah, but to be honest, mate, even if you're mentioning the stuff you mentioned there, get it to the point where it's literally like cruise ready. I reckon it'd still stand you at like 50 grand if you spent all the cash, which is still that's amazing to not only get that boat but to then be able to kit it out for that type of price. It's brilliant.
yeah, no, I agree. it's one of those things where I might actually come ahead on this one, by the time we'll see how many years and how much money I put into it. But if I sold right away, it yeah, it would be I would get a lot, get my money back and then some. But yeah, who knows? Boats take it out of you.
Yeah, you need to keep it for a while, mate. Like it's the nicest boat you've ever owned so far. And it's a cracking boat. It's so good. It's such a proven ocean passage boat with good speeds. Like yeah, it's fantastic. What would you like to do with it?
I think I was going to do an offshore sailing school, like something similar to what Brady and Blue are doing.
Nice.
There's another guy out here that's doing channel crossings charters. And I was thinking about doing that as well. Because Hawaii is, it's rough here, especially the channels.
Oh, I think your sound just went off, mate. Oh yeah, you just muted yourself.
Did I?
Yeah, so you said it's rough here, going through the channels, and then it's muted.
Okay. Yeah, the channels here, with the normal trades blowing 20, 25, the channels are like 30 to 40. And so it really is properly rough. And so I was thinking with the sailing school, I could take people around Hawaii, do some gunkling, just go check out anchorages and stuff and get an idea of what cruising life is like. But then I could also take them out on the channels and reef and get them into some heavy weather. And
Yeah.
yeah, I think it'd be a good project. But I think next year I might sail to Mexico and haul out there. The boat does
Right.
need a haul out. Like some of the through hole fittings are not working. So I will have to haul out at some point. And I think I'll probably do that in Mexico and then maybe do a lap of the Pacific.
Just talk about these things like it's nothing. I love that. I'll just go to Mexico to holler. How many thousands of miles is that to get to Mexico from where you are?
It's quite, yeah, it's quite, it's like 4 or 5,000 miles.
For a haul out, because you get a good deal. It's worth it, I suppose. It depends how much work you want to do. One of my mates, he went to Colombia to get all his boat work done. He literally paid like a quarter what he would have paid in the States.
It's same in Mexico. It's the haul out's pretty cheap. Yeah, I talked to the Totem guys too. They're really happy with the work they were able to get there. And yeah, they did a full bottom job. They did the copper coat bottom job stuff too. So they're able to get like really good
Nice.
skilled labor. Yeah. So I think I'll probably try to do the same thing.
Yeah, man, if you're going for a copper coat, like you just want cheap labor because
Yeah.
there is so many hours in that. When I was in the yard, when I was getting this fit up, I just did a quick one on mine. I just sanded the bottom and just put a bit of anti-foul on. But they were doing the full copper coat because I think it was a Bavaria 44 Ocean or a Bavaria something Ocean. Really nice German couple. Really like them. Still talk to them. But this particular model line of Bavarias, they were just riddled with osmosis. And this boat was like a 2010 or something that they had. And there was like 300 holes that they needed to fill in. And some of them were deep. Like it was really bad. And they did the copper coat afterwards, but oh my God, the amount of painting and sanding and painting and sanding and painting and sanding. And with the thick stuff, like you have to really sand into it because it goes on heavy. It's a lot of
Yeah, I've heard that. I definitely, like I said, I'll definitely need to get some cheap labor if I'm gonna do that.
Well, so do you think, are you thinking about getting down to Mexico, doing a bit of a refit, then probably doing some passages once you've got the boat, the extra work that you want to do to it.
Yeah, definitely. I think after
Nice.
Mexico, I'll probably, like I said, I'd like to do a lap of the Pacific. I'd like to go back to Polynesia, down to New Zealand, maybe. I'd like to see Easter Island, and then I'd probably come back up to Hawaii. And I want to do a lap of the North Pacific too. So I'd like to do like Micronesia, Japan, then Alaska, and then down the west coast of the US.
Amazing.
Alaska looks cool. I really want to dive the Aleutian Islands. The anchorages up there just look amazing. And yeah, and I'd love to get in the water. I like the kelp forest and the cold water diving, so it'd be nice to get up there and go explore.
Yeah, and also you mentioned a lot of places where you've not been before as well on your boat, at least when you did your circumnavigation. So like you're actually yeah, it's stuff that you probably still want to see as well, and you'd be doing it in the right boat.
Yeah, definitely so. And it'll be nice doing faster passages and be a little more comfortable.
Oh yeah. Oh
The
yeah,
pace is
mate.
pretty quick for a 35 footer, but the Swan's pretty quick for a 44 footer, so.
Definitely quicker by comparison. Yeah, mate, it'll be so nice to go back to some of those spots that you hit previously, but just like in a much more bigger, comfortable boat where maybe you don't have to worry about some stuff, you know, like if you would do if you were on not the Bristol, but your first boat. And like just be able to experience it, but chilled out rather than having to worry about stuff on a small boat.
Yeah, no, this is definitely true. It really, until I got the Bristol, like the Aalborg, it seemed like the first like third of my trip that I did on that boat was literally sail somewhere, fix whatever I could, as best as I could, and then sail somewhere else. And I wasn't really enjoying that much because it was just doing boat work constantly, and I didn't have enough money to really fix it up properly either. So the boat was just getting worse and worse as I went, and yeah, eventually it ended up sinking in Thailand, but that
Yeah, but it'll be very nice to like revisit those in like a super big comfortable boat, so that's cool. Yeah, mate, it'd be cool to talk about Odyssey actually, because that was a pretty good experience. I think everyone had a good time, but it was good that we ended up being able to cruise for a few days afterwards on the extra catamaran. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really fun. I didn't really get a chance to talk to the other captains while we were doing the trip because it was so busy with the guests. So it was
Yeah.
nice to actually kind of meet and get to know the people that stayed over. Yeah, I would like to, like, because most of them, like, I didn't really talk to the Colin, and I talked to Glenn a little bit, but it was really
Yeah.
Laura was the only person I really spent much time with on that trip. And so, like, I really didn't get to know a lot of the other captains, which I'd like to try to be able to do that on the next one.
Yeah, I think what I want to do is try and get everybody in like 2 days before with the next one, so everybody can have like a good couple of social nights. Because the nights where we all hung out and got smashed were actually brilliant. Like everyone got to know each other on those as well. So yeah, probably do that for a couple nights before, or maybe a couple nights after for like chill out. I think that'll be pretty good.
Yeah, I think so too. It was nice to be able to do that afterwards, and yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. So is this going to be your first time sailing in Greece?
It's gonna be my first time in Europe.
No way.
Yeah, I've
Yeah,
actually
yeah.
sailed in every continent except Europe.
Man, that's wild.
Yeah.
Right, well,
Haven't
that's
seen the
pretty.
Antarctica.
Yeah, flipping out. The amount of things you've ticked off your boxes, but you haven't ticked off sailing in Europe. Well, you are going to do this summer. That's quite cool. It's a good place to start, mate. It'll be a hectic week. You know what I like is, you know, it's a lot of work. It's not an easy week, but like, what a great place to do it.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It looks amazing too, like just the colors and stuff. And yeah, I'd be curious to see it. It'd be fun.
Yeah, it should be cool, mate. I sailed around there last year quite a bit, and then I stayed in a bunch of hotels around there as well, like when I was going over and refitting my boat. And it's just stunning, man. Like you've got anchorages where you can literally see like temples and you know, key walls. You can just literally like moor all your boats all the way up to the town and just step off, and you're literally in a cafe as soon as you step off your boat. It's wicked. It's great culture for cruising.
Oh, how cool. No, that sounds fun. It's on the opposite side of the planet for me too. So I think after the trip, I
Really?
might visit my dad in Thailand. And so I'll probably end up doing a lap of the world just to,
Yeah, you might. Yeah,
Yeah.
you will actually, won't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So
Little
I figure I might as well
circumnavigation there.
visit some friends while I'm over there. So I think I'm going to stop and see some friends in Spain and then meet up with you guys. And then I think I'll see my dad in Thailand afterwards and come home.
Ah, wicked. That's very cool. Whereabouts in Spain, your friends?
He has a place in Barcelona, and he has a
Oh,
place
amazing.
in Ibiza too, but I think he'll be in Barcelona around that time.
Oh, mate, Barcelona is like I don't want to offend the Spanish people because this is a sensitive subject for some of them. But yeah, Barcelona is definitely like the coolest place in Spain. It's great, mate. It's just a wicked vibe. Like the city is fantastic. It's brilliant.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's fantastic, mate. Well, listen, that was a good little catch up. Since the last time we spoke, we know each other a bit better now as well. So yeah, I'll mate, what just in terms of like the passages that you want to do and all that, what's the best place for people to find out that information in the future? Would it be like your website or your socials or what?
Yeah, on my socials, like everything's the single-handed sailor. So the single-handedsailor.com is my website. I'm doing the crowdfunding too, trying to raise some money for the boat. It's not as effective as it was before, but it is helping out a lot because I'm trying to, between working and working on the boat, I'm able to get my projects done, but it's going slower than I'd hoped, as it always does.
Well, where can people help out with that? Is that on your website as well?
Yep. Everything's linked up on my website.
That's, what is it, singlehandedsailor.com?
Yep, the singlehandedsailor.com.
The singlehandedsailor.com. Wicked, mate. Well, everybody can go there and take a look a little bit.